13 of their last 16. Yeah. I mean, they're vibing.
Talk to me about just the experience. This is the first time you've been back. Well, this year, and obviously nothing last year.
Right.
What was it like?
You know, we got there, and we were there for the Guider group. If you don't know about Guider, Nashville Predators Guider group, you should Google it. I'll explain it a little bit later on. But so we're getting there, and me and my friend, I went with actually my friend Nicole, who we had on the show. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Whenever it was, the day you were out.
Yeah, a couple Fridays ago.
Yeah, a couple Fridays ago. So we went together, and we were one of the first to get to the suite. We're at the 501 suite. And so it's like all of a sudden, you know, you look out on the ice, and the Lightning come out for their warm-ups, and the Predators come out for their warm-ups, and there's, like, really nobody in the bowl. And it felt like a practice. And then, you know, obviously people started trickling in, but there wasn't a whole lot of people there. The people that were there, though, did a great job.
Do they you come in waves, or because they don't have that big, you know, everybody come in at one time thing, right?
Yeah,
or,
because we came in through, you know, we entered through the 6th Avenue garage.
Right.
And there was a line of people, and they waited until 6 o'clock on the dot. They don't open the doors till 6.
Right.
And so we came in, and they kind of herded us in, went through the whole, you know, security and all that kind of stuff.
Do they take your temperature?
No.
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 Okay.
You have to. You had to answer like this little, excuse me, let me phlegm out.
Like, you couldn't have got in for what you just did.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, probably. So they basically, you fill out this questionnaire that you download on your phone.
Oh, okay.
And then once you do that, you get a green check mark. The person taking your ticket has a green check mark. Now, they're very particular about certain things. Like, you know, Nicole had her regular handbag,
mm-hmm.
and they said, no, you know, it's got to be a clear bag, so she had to go back and change that. I had my Gator, and, you know, the same lady that came up to Nicole came up to me and said, I swear I'm not picking on you guys, but you can't wear a Gator in there.
What's a Gator?
A Gator is like the...
Because I'm not hip to this.
Right,
stuff,
right. That's the mask where it covers your neck.
Oh, okay, and, okay.
It's like a piece.
Like you pull
of
it up, pull
yeah,
it down.
Yeah, exactly.
It just hangs around your
right.
neck.
Right. Okay, you have to have one of those paper like mock
a mask.
Surgical mask. Yeah. So I had to throw that back in the car, and the lady was very nice. She gave me a paper mask. So they're very particular about a lot of things. But once we got in, it was just weird watching warm-ups because there was really nobody there.
Yeah.
And then even once the game got going, you look out in the crowd and there's people sprinkled all about. Again, the people that were there, though, made a lot of noise.
I was going to ask you about the level of just, because, you know, it comes off differently TV. I'm curious because, I'm wanting to go. I'm really got that itch. I'd like to go, and I'm not going to go through the media route.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was a fun experience. It was just different.
Yeah.
Because having been there in 2017 for all those playoff games and the Stanley Cup final games, where I've never been in a building so loud in my life, and it's just packed wall-to-wall people. You know, it was a lot different experience. Even going on a Tuesday night in, you know, early January, the place is rocking. So, but the crowd that was there did a great job. You know, the atmosphere was fun, and, I mean, my gosh, that first period, I mean, they just kind of put it away in that first period.
Well, Charlie, a 7-2 win last night, 13 out of 16. In that stretch, 2 of 3 against Tampa Bay, and the one they lost, they actually played really well as well. Arvidsson with a couple goals, 9th and 10th, had an assist, 5 goals in 4 games. Josi with a goal, his 5th, couple more assists. Tanner Janot, NHL debut goal. Saros, 21. These are just notes I've written down. Charlie can get into the analysis. I'm the play-by-play. I'm setting up the commentator here. Sissons with 7th goal. Grimaldi with his 9th go, Pitlick with his 1st NHL assist. So, 7-2. I know they didn't have Stamkos, didn't have Kucherov, but still, you know, playing well. Charlie, is it? I don't think it's fool's gold the way this team's playing.
I'm
right
throwing
now.
Cold water on both of you.
Okay,
okay,
you're both
good.
Overreacting.
I was about to ask you, am I nuts?
You're both overreacting.
Tell me I'm nuts.
All right, let me actually say something then. You're both overreacting. Curtis McElhinney got the start last night. He has a save percentage of 82% in the NHL. He looked like he didn't even belong out there on the ice last night. The Preds 2 wins against Tampa Bay this season. Remember, they went 2-6 against Tampa Bay this season. Their 2 wins came against Curtis McElhinney, the backup goaltender for the Tampa Bay Lightning. As a matter of fact, as bad as McElhinney is, he did score a win against this Predators team during the season series. So let's not get too overexcited about the inflated score last night. As soon as you saw McElhinney taking the ice, you had a feeling this is how it was going to go for Tampa. Look at the difference between Vasilevsky in the first period of the previous game and McElhinney in the first period of this game. Good goaltending makes the difference, and no matter how good of a hockey team you are, if you back off the pedal for just a second and you don't have good goaltending, you're going to get blown out of the rink. So while it is a high-quality win for this Nashville Predators team and a very important win, more important, the 2 points, it is still only their fourth win of the entire season against the top three teams in this division. So, again, great win, and I throw cold water on it, and I'm going to tell you guys another stat in just a second to get you pumped back up. But I just wanted to slow it down a little bit and say Curtis McElhinney is not an NHL-caliber goaltender. The Tampa Bay Lightning have made a critical error in judgment by not going out and securing a backup goaltender, perhaps from Detroit, that had a good goaltender that they were willing to give up. But for the Nashville Predators, they have every opportunity now. And, fellas, here's the moment that's going to get you a little bit fired up. Greg, you talked about them being 4 points clear of the Chicago Blackhawks, right? You just mentioned that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great news. Absolutely exceptional. 12 games to go, 4 points clear of a playoff spot. 5-0 against the Blackhawks this season. A three-game set coming up with them here next week. And Chicago sold off some of its better, more veteran offensive parts at the trade deadline. But, fellas, there's something that I've refused to talk about up until this very moment. I'm going to bring it up right now. And you guys want to hold on to your hats for a second here? Please do.
All right. My headset.
I got to hold my helmet.
The Nashville Predators have 24 regulation wins on the season right now. That has them in fourth place at 49 points. Would you like to know how many regulation wins the Carolina Hurricanes and the Florida Panthers have as of this morning's action? 27. It is 3 wins separating the Nashville Predators from 2 of the top teams in the entire NHL right now. The Predators are 9 points back of Carolina, Tampa, and Florida, all at 58 points right now. And listen, I'm not saying, but I am saying it's worth looking at. It's interesting. It's definitely worth tracking. And the sentence, the Nashville Predators are X number of points behind first place with games in hand and an opportunity, is not something we thought we would be saying concerning first place in the Central Division. Now listen, the Predators are not going to surpass 3 teams and take first place from these 3 teams because they play each other, they're going to beat up on each other, and Carolina has 4 against Nashville. But what I am saying is if Nashville can handle its business against Carolina, listen, they don't have a victory on the season yet against the Canes. 0-3-1, the overtime loss came in the last time these teams played each other. But if the Preds can handle their business head-to-head against the Carolina Hurricanes, they could displace Carolina by the end of this season and move up possibly into the 2-3 matchup, forcing the Canes down into fourth place to face maybe Tampa Bay, maybe Florida in the first round. But it's highly interesting and very unique, fellas, and I think it's worth tracking right now. As the Preds continue, John mentioned the success as of late. They're securing the number 4 spot. The teams below them have inferior records, are falling off, trailing off. Last night, you saw Dallas lose for the 12th time this season in overtime. Now the 3 games in hand for Dallas mean nothing because they're 7 points behind the Nashville Predators. So even if they sweep all 3 of those games in hand, they're still out of a playoff spot. So for the Nashville Predators, surging at the right moment and with opportunities, 6 of them, 4 against Carolina, 2 against Florida, opportunities to possibly at least make the top of the division race. Highly interesting here in these final 12 games of the season, if not push one of these teams to end up making some decisions that maybe they don't want to, playing starters towards the end of the season when they don't, playing goaltenders and back-to-backs when they don't want to. Right now, first place is up for grabs. 12 games to go. The only reason Carolina's in first, they played 41. Tampa's played 42. Florida's played 43. Nashville has played 44 games. They played the most in the Central Division at this point. But again, getting secure, getting more clear of that fifth place position and moving into fourth place, and now getting in a conversation, being 9 points behind all 3 of those teams, the Nashville Predators are doing things that are highly interested right now. And by the way, John, you saw it last night. You mentioned Victor Arvidsson. He took a big old double birds up to Victor Hedman's Norris Trophy finalist nomination last night. When a guy of Victor Arvidsson's size can chip the puck by you, defeat you in battle, and then work his way right around you and make a perfect pass to the crease, Johansson with the first shot, and then it was Grimaldi with the jam on that attempt. When you see that type of stuff going on out there on the ice, Victor Hedman, he probably will still be a Norris Trophy finalist, but that's one that the detractors can easily point out and go, how in the world does an undersized winger get around supposedly the best defenseman in the entire NHL on the best team? And again, fellas, you get a bad night in net and you don't show up to play in the first period, anybody is beatable in this league. And you want me to give you the rosy sunny side up? Greg gave it to you. 2 out of the last 3 against the best team in the NHL for the Nashville Predators. An opportunity. Maybe the biggest mistake Tampa Bay made this year was having to face the Nashville Predators 8 times. because they were blowing their doors off earlier in the season, and now the Predators look like a much more competitive team. They have found their groove. JB said it, the new phrase you're going to hear nonstop. Ugh. And if it goes
That's
on,
all I heard last night.
If it goes on throughout the summer, and we would love nothing more than to be laughing with talls on Broadway during a parade, laughing about the vibe that's going on around this town. But they're vibing, fellas, and you're going to hear it so much. It's become a rallying cry. Ryan Johansson mumbled it on the postgame interview, and now everybody's obsessed with the idea of vibing. It's funny. I love when a team pulls together. It's a pack mentality, and it's great. The Preds have a very big hill against them in this Central Division playoff bracket. It's going to be incredible. Guys, I'm taking a lot of pride in this division. Maybe it's because I'm in the bubble. Maybe it's because I only really see these eight teams on a night-in and night-out basis. But watching Carolina, Tampa, Florida, Nashville night-in, night-out, I'm highly impressed with what these four clubs are doing right now. The hockey that they play is exceptional, and I'm very much looking forward to the playoffs. I've been talking to you about that for weeks now. I can't wait for it to get here. But for the Preds, every opportunity now to finish securing that fourth spot and perhaps make the teams above them a little bit uncomfortable over the next couple of weeks. It all starts in Carolina tomorrow night and Saturday.
Up on the Jumbotron last night, instead of the noise meter, it's now the vibe meter.
The vibe.
Yeah, you're gonna see and hear that a lot.
They played Joey's soundbite from the other day, and then they said, "All right, let's get the vibe meter going."
And I'm glad you know, mentioned Vasilevsky wasn't a goal. That's pretty obvious, but some good Tanner Janot, first NHL goal. Pitlick, and when Forsberg's coming back, Tolvanen's coming back, you're getting healthy on all the way around.
The healthy spirit of competition. Yeah, guys are going to lose their roster spots not because they're injured or ineffective necessarily. And look at a guy like Rocco Grimaldi going to the net hard, getting another goal last night. Rocco Grimaldi's made his case with John Hines. How are you going to sit Rocco Grimaldi when he's been putting up the numbers he has of late? How are you going to sit Janot at any point in time? McCarron comes back from suspension, eligible for the next game. Who cares? Janot is who needs to be out there on that fourth line. This is a guy who brings the absolute power when he's out there. And congratulations on his first goal. Again, another one. Going to the net hard and bringing the jam. First goal of the season. Five total hits in that game. Fellas, he only played 11:41 in time on ice last night. I think you noticed every single second that he was out there. Greg, you did a good job of laying out all of the particulars when it comes to the box score, but I want to highlight and bring out Ryan Johansson. Yes, we're goofing on his quote, the vibing and all of that stuff, but let me tell you something. That big body number one center last night, you can bag on that guy all you want, but when he puts it all together and he puts that performance on the ice like he did last night, that pass he made with the 2-on-1, John delivering a perfect ladle of sauce across the ice. On the 2-on-1, what does he do to make it so effective? He baits the goalie.
Yep.
He holds it long enough to make the goalie hug the post and think, he's shooting. He baits the defenseman. Oh, well, I've got the passing lane cut off, and the goalie's got the post, so he's going to shoot it. And then what does he do? Flops it right over the stick perfectly onto Arvidsson's blade for the one-timer. And then what does Pitlick do? Comes out and does a Joey impression later on and delivers just as good a sauce. Highly impressive effort for the Predators last night. In the first period, they carved up Tampa in the neutral zone, taking the puck in, carrying the puck in. Roman Josi was absolutely leading the charge. As Tampa evened things out in the second period and beyond, listen, they limited the Predators to virtually no offense. I know that the score got a little out of hand, but the Preds only had 5 shots on goal in the second period, and the Predators only had 10 shots on goal total in the third period, and a couple of those came very, very late. So for the Preds, only having 22 shots on net and scoring 7 goals, highly impressive. Also shows you just how poor a performance it was for McElhinney and net. And John, I don't know if you saw it, first shot against on the game, McElhinney stopped that thing with his glove like it was a concrete block. You knew it that moment in time when it hits the pocket of the glove and just bounces right out of there and lands in a high danger area. Wow, watch out. And every one of the Nashville Predators was smelling it, and they went right after McElhinney. Josi just driving the net time after time after time in that first period. Tampa Bay got their skates under them. They started evening things out. They had a really strong second period.
Yeah.
But you notice, what did the Preds do, and how did they stop Tampa, and how is they going to stop them in a best-of-7 series? They clogged up the neutral zone. Fellas, Tampa Bay, speed, skill, they work really hard, and they play a very detailed game, but it all starts with their speed, and it all starts with their skill, and if they can't enter the zone on a 3-on-2, if they can't enter the zone 2-on-2 with speed, they're not going to be very effective. Keep them to the outside. Keep them from getting across your blue line. Preds did a fantastic job. The physical element Saturday night and clogging up things on this game last night, the Preds have found themselves a little bit of a blueprint. And with UC Saros as good as he is right now, they may have an opportunity to jump up and punch the defending champions square in the jaw in a best of seven. They only won 2 out of 6 in the season series. No, I don't have a lot of confidence they can win 4 out of 7. But after the last 2-3 games against Tampa Bay, I have renewed vigor towards an attempt, at least, of running head-on into a buzzsaw. I am now welcoming it because I want to see what this Preds team can do. I want to see what Janot can do. I want to see Trennan out there. I want to see Saros lead his team in a playoff series and be successful. I want to see all that. So now, just like John Burton, I was apprehensive about running into a first series buzzsaw where it might mean a sweep. Right. Now I say forged by fire, take on the best. You got to be the best. You got to beat the best, right, JB? That's pretty much.
You and I know it better than
that's
anybody.
That's universal law. To be the best, you got to beat the best. Yep. And there's no one better to take on right now than Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Florida. The Preds will find themselves in that four-team tournament coming up very soon. It's going to be incredibly exciting hockey. And if they can continue this, fellas, we're going to be talking an awful lot of Preds hockey and a lot of excitement. Again, appreciate everybody out there. Listenership up, business good. Predators playing good, winning. Yep. That means lots more people are interested and energized by the topic. So WNSR.com for Predneck Nation Radio. We put a new episode in this morning because when you beat the champ 7-2 on your home rink, you show up in the trenches first thing in the morning and you lay it down and you tell the people exactly how it did. Be excited for the team. 7-2 over Tampa, outstanding. But remember, McElhinney's pretty much guaranteed to give up at least 4. So the margin of the score, not the most exciting part. Gotcha. The victory, okay. The points, and the momentum against overall the Tampa Bay Lightning going into a potential playoff series. That's what I take away from this one. Remember, though, Vasilevsky's still 5-0 against this Preds team and giving up virtually nothing. So if the Preds are going to beat Tampa, they have to figure out how to solve Vasilevsky, and they won't get a chance to do that until a potential game 1 of a 7-game series.